It's time for your North Iowa News on KCHA for Monday, June 23rd. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. A celebration of life for Floyd County Supervisor Dennis Kiefer will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. today inside the Schwartz Rock Community Center on the Floyd County Fairgrounds. Kiefer passed away June 10th. He was 73. Meanwhile, the county has begun the process to appoint someone to fill Kiefer's seat as District 2 supervisor, with the term running until the end of 2026. Last week, a committee consisting of County Auditor Morgan Miller, County Recorder Amy Assink, and County Treasurer Jesse Holm decided to go the appointee route, along with taking applications from those interested in the position. Among the requirements to apply, applicants must be 18 or older, be a U.S. citizen, and reside in District 2 at least 60 days prior to his or her appointment. District 2 includes all of Charles City north of the Cedar River, plus the part of St. Charles Township that is north of the city. Supervisor applicants must also answer a 10-question survey available on the county website, and applications must be received in the auditor's office by 4 p.m. Thursday, July 3rd. Miller, Assink, and Holm are slated to meet Monday, July 7th to review the applicants, who can also make statements about their qualifications and answer any questions from the appointee committee. If no decision is made in that meeting, they'll try again on Tuesday, July 8th. A new supervisor must be appointed within 40 days of the vacancy occurring. Even with an appointment, eligible voters in District 2 can file a petition to force a special election. The petition will need at least 257 signatures and be filed within 14 days of the appointment. Crafting of a new ordinance regulating the construction of wind farms in Floyd County is being delayed again, while a group in favor of their development has filed a petition with the county. A workshop group has been meeting over the past 6 months in an effort to hammer out possible compromises to amendments to that ordinance that, if approved, would make it virtually impossible to build any new wind turbines in the county. A presentation from the group was initially on the agenda for last Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting. However, following the death of District 2 Supervisor Dennis Kiefer, a proponent of wind turbine limits, Supervisor Boyd Campbell, a member of the workshop, had the item scratched.
We're acting now with two supervisors instead of three. I just think with the decisions that have to be made, it will probably last for a generation or two when you stop and look at the easements that are, have to be granted. And, you know, we're looking at big decisions here. I'd like to see a supervisor sitting another one with us from District 2 so they have representation on this.
Supervisor Gloria Carr acknowledged the reason to delay the presentation, but also expressed concern that they continue to move the ordinance forward, hoping the workshop group will reschedule a presentation soon. A group of landowners, led by Charlotte Niels, also informed supervisors they have a petition with 200 signatures urging an ordinance that would promote economic development.
The signers of this petition are excited about the possible large increase in taxable valuation wind turbine projects would provide to the taxing bodies of Floyd County. There are projections that over time, an additional generation of $70 million in tax collections, with an additional $100 million in lease payments to landowners, plus the creation of 300 jobs, will result from one such project.
Niels also cited benefits the tax revenue would mean to the county as they struggle to maintain services they provide, the tax relief it can mean for landowners, and prevent the county from being sued by wind farm developers. Meanwhile, a wind development moratorium remains in effect until next Monday, June 30th. It was a year ago today that the Main Street Bridge in Charles City had to be closed due to flooding. The bridge was shut down amid concerns that its structural integrity may have been compromised after huge trees and other debris in the swollen Cedar River slammed into the 115-year-old structure. The bridge would remain closed until it could be inspected. When it reopened 2 weeks later, a 28-ton weight limit on the bridge was imposed and remains in effect. The bridge has been inspected two more times since, including a scuba team that looked at the underwater foundation of the bridge last fall, with an inspection this past spring taking a closer look at the facade of the bridge. Outgoing City Administrator Steve Deere says the city expects to know more about the fate of the bridge yet this summer.
The bridge engineers are working on their final report, and they're going to come to the council in August and kind of give a total update on that. Suffice it to say, if it was in grave danger, that report would have been a lot sooner. But I think, you know, they're reviewing everything to figure out what that long-term plan is, because it is sometime in the next 10 years, certainly, we're going to need to replace that bridge.
The city will also be restricted in how they replace the bridge.
You know, you can't build a bridge like that anymore. You can't have that much. I mean, with all this water and flood water coming down, you've got a lot of structure that's in the water that impedes water flow. And so the DNR doesn't care for that. And so, you know, we probably won't be able to build a bridge like that any longer. But what is that bridge going to look like?
Further challenging any replacement plans, the Main Street Bridge is on the National Register of Historic Places. The first ever Black Tie Fundraising Gala, hosted by Floyd County Medical Center this past March, also celebrated the hospital's 60th anniversary in Charles City.
People really enjoyed it, and we raised $40,000 towards future expansion and construction projects. It's amazing what our community achieved together. And so due to overwhelming popularity and demand, we have decided to put on another one for 2026.
That's Mackenzie McNeil, FCMC Director of Marketing, who says they're enlisting extra help in planning their next event.
We have invited the community to share their feedback on what kind of event they want to see in 2026. So, for example, lots of people came up to us and suggested different themes and ideas for next year.
Possible themes with the public survey include Casino Night, Masquerade Ball, and Kentucky Derby. There's also an other option to submit your own idea. The survey can be accessed at fcmc.us.com and is open through July 15th. McNeil says FCMC is also soliciting requests for proposals for catering and photography services to partner with for the 2026 fundraiser. Interested vendors are asked to contact McNeil by July 31st. A link to more information is included with this story on our station website. More North Iowa news on the way on KCHA.